Hi, y'all. Welcome to Windshield Time. This is Day and Air again. Thanks for tuning in. It's Tuesday afternoon, September 24th, about 4 p.m.
Woohoo! We made it to the end of September almost.
Almost to the end of September. Yes, indeed. What is Windshield Time?
Yeah, Day, what is Windshield Time?
So Windshield Time is a non-technical, fun, informative podcast. You could almost say fun-formative. About Bitcoin, money, and life for parents and busy working professionals who are curious about Bitcoin, blockchains, and crypto assets. I and Ari and their guests talk about these evolutionary technologies and what they touch in all our lives. Because what part of your life does money not touch?
Yes, our guests and you and me together.
I think I did some bad grammar there saying I and Ari, but that's okay. To our good friend Matt Case at Local Seattle, home of the best variety of 80s and more, 97.5 The Jet. All right, so what did you do in your past life? Who are you, Ari?
Hey, I am the chair of the Cascadia Blockchain Council, powered by the WTIA, one of our sponsors too. It's the Washington Technology Industry Association, made up of over 1,100 technology companies, everyone located from Portland all the way up to Vancouver, BC. For the Blockchain Council, we create one collective voice for companies and work shoulder to shoulder with regulators, investors, and innovators. Past life, artist, musician, turned management consultant. Woo-hoo!
That's a big range and variety of past lives there you got.
I know. I'm exciting, huh?
All right. And my name's Day again. I was a former sales engineer and infrastructure engineer working on the internet as we know it today for the last couple of decades. And now I'm an investor and a generally very enthusiastic person in the Bitcoin, blockchain, crypto asset space.
You sound like a well-grounded, very dependable, good guy.
One of my favorite Twitter guys called out the extremely low adoption. I think it was 0.4% mm-hmm. of the internet back in 1995, which was when I got my start in the business of enterprise internetworks.
Whoa, that was a long time ago.
And then he said now the adoption rate's close to 60%.
Mm-hmm.
As exhibited by the 2.5 or so billion people that are on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And then
2.4 billion.
He got exactly. Then he called out the fact that currently Bitcoin, blockchain, crypto assets, distributed ledger technologies has about the same 0.4% of adoption. And so if you make the same extrapolations and comparisons with the dawn of the internet, we got. Well, the thing is, remember what Adam Draper said when he was here for Blockchain Underground?
What did he say again?
The internet didn't have the internet. So blockchain and Bitcoin has the internet. So
10 years out,
maybe less than 10 years out. Well, it's already been 10 years, so maybe 5 years out.
I just saw a major spike on that little screen there. I was
maybe this helps the visualization of your mouse voice on the screen.
Did
there
you
maybe
just call
help.
My voice mouse voice?
Mouse voice.
Mouse voice.
Mouse voice. Yes.
Oh, ouch.
I'm sorry.
You know you're married to me,
I'm
right?
Sorry. Yes. Yes. I love your mouse voice. I love your mouse voice. Okay. So, quick shout out to each of our sponsors, and Ari's going to highlight one of them. CoinMe. Dom is going to be doing the disclosures, disclaimers as usual. Hey, Dom. What's up?
Hey, Bug.
Fresh Chalk.
Fresh Chalk.
And then Dragon Chain. And then she already did the WTIA.
Yeah.
So the lucky recipient of the focus of the sponsors today is...
I think we should do Fresh Chalk. They're new. They're very shiny. And it's made up of an awesome team. So Fresh Chalk, freshy fresh vegetables, chalk like chalk on a chalkboard, FreshChalk.com. Fresh Chalk helps you connect with friends to exchange recommendations for local professionals in home services, health, wellness, and more. A little bit of a background. It's actually headed up by Liz Pierce. She's a longtime Seattle entrepreneur, and she's teamed up with a rockstar group of technical product co-founders. And they're taking on Yelp and Nextdoor with this new approach to recommendations. Connect with your friends, exchange recommendations for local professionals. Try it out.
Awesome, awesome. I'm going to be using them a lot for some home projects that we got coming up here.
Freshchalk.com.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, and then for events, this Friday, September 27th, we have the WTIA Happy Hour at the WTIA office that has a nice view overlooking Lake Union.
Yeah, so this is the second time we're going to be hosting it at the WTIA office. Expect it to be happening every other month at the WTIA office. There'll be food and drinks and happy faces. We'll do some networking. We'll do some community updates. So those that have things to share, please show up. And I'd love for you to share with the community about different events or highlights, because we are here to share and together we rise.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if I had a request for ongoing building maintenance fund over there, depending on how long they're going to have the building, I would ask that maybe they sock a little bit away for a new deck off that floor where we have the happy hour, because in the summertime, that deck would be absolutely fantastic.
Hear, hear.
All right. And then the other event coming up later in October is Las Vegas Blockchain Week. And so you and I will be there with the notorious blockchain baby, Bitcoin baby, which we'll also talk about in the main segment.
And the newest addition to our family. So no. Nah. They and I are not having another baby, but we are adopting an adult young woman to come and be an au pair to our children. So we will consider her an addition to our family very shortly.
Did you really want to share that out loud with the public of the world?
Why not? We share everything. I mean, share when the baby's crying.
Yeah.
Or when we're tired and cranky.
Or last night, the disaster of a debacle of a sham of a travesty trying to record the podcast last night with a 3-year-old bouncing off of every surface in the studio here.
He was going crazy. However, there was a good part to it. So the lentil and I did have a 40-minute session at 2 in the morning talking about...
2 in the morning.
Yeah, I was yelling.
2 in the morning, one-on-one.
Yeah, I was frustrated. I said, hey, baby, I love you. I love you always. But when mommy and daddy are working, you have to be quiet and you have to listen. And I was going on for about 2 minutes. And finally, the lentil said, hey, mommy, when you're having a hard time, just ask for help. Then I can help. And I said, oh, that's a good idea. I was having a really hard time. Mommy and daddy were having a hard time. We were trying to work and we were having a hard time. We should have asked you for help. He's like, yeah, that would be nicer. I am sad right now. Life lessons from a 3-year-old.
So what's the main topic of today's podcast, Ari?
Well, since it's freshy fresh, like freshchalk.com, and we're just coming out from a trip to Wyoming where we did about 36-hour trip with the Bitcoin baby.
Oh, yeah. Very exciting.
And that was a very, very, very challenging trip because we had to fly over there. The flight was delayed. We missed a connecting flight. We tried to get a car rental. The car rental place was closed. We tried to get another car rental. All the cars were all sold out. Then we got an Uber for a 2.5-hour drive from Denver to Laramie, Wyoming.
Which cost $150. An Uber ride interstate for $150 starting at 10 o'clock at night.
With
very exciting.
A 5-month-old baby.
With the 5-month-old baby. And then we also had to get an Uber from the hotel to the conference. So that was, nominal dollars. And then the other car that we had to take, which was a taxi, not an Uber because there were no Ubers around. We had to take a taxi that was $120, including tip, from Laramie, Wyoming to Fort Collins, Colorado, where we spent the night at one of my old friend's house.
Yeah, and it was kind of funny to be able to actually have to look up phone numbers and call a taxi after taxi company to try and find a taxi that would take us to Fort Collins. It was like reminded me of, the 90s or something like that.
Exactly. So we kind of like went into a bunch of the gory details about the intricacies of the planes, trains, and automobiles of the trip, but that's going to be in the main topic.
It was really
worth it. It was very, very worth it. Exactly.
Yeah,
so that'll be the bigger part that we cover in the main segment of the show.
What the Wyoming Blockchain Stampede, hosted by the goddess, the ambassador.
She
of
can be
hope.
A goddess too.
To
the
me,
ambassador
she's a
of hope and the goddess of blockchain. Yes.
Yes. The goddess, no, the ambassador of hope for blockchain, Caitlin Long, the Wyoming Blockchain Stampede. It was very good, very, very communal. Small enough that you could really build relationships and break out. I really, really enjoyed it. All right.
So we'll go into the Satoshi math in the main segment. And so I think we covered everything for the introduction here. We'll go ahead and roll Dom for the disclosures, disclaimers. CoinMe, cash to Bitcoin, ATMs, 2,600 locations using the Coinstar network, grocery stores and places like that all over the country. Thanks, Dom.
Hi, y'all. This is Dom from CoinMe, or you might know me from the Blockchain Minute, your daily show for the most important story on the blockchain. None of the statements or opinions expressed in this podcast by the guest or its host is to be taken as financial advice or a solicitation of any kind to participate in a conservative or risky or speculative financial instrument that may or may not require accredited investor status as defined by either the Security and Exchange Commission of the United States of America or independent thought and rational thinking from the laws of humanity. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge that the hosts, Ari and Day, and their guests are not financial advisors of any kind, but only humans and not sentient intergalactic alien life forms. All statements made in this podcast by any living or dead or unborn or zombie or robotic entity in the past, present, or future of the space-time continuum of this known universe are purely ironic or coincidental thoughts and opinions. Moments of sarcasm, sadness, education, glee, entertainment, or any other emotion that may be found in this podcast are fully your responsibility and reaction that may or may not be intended for the listener in any way, shape, or form. Mature adult discretion is strongly advised. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thanks, Dom, again, for reading the disclosures, disclaimers.
Thanks, Bug.
Yeah, Bug on the windshield. That's what we'll call our listeners out there in the world. And I appreciate everything that you do over there at our local cash to Bitcoin on-ramp, 2,600 locations around the country to convert USD cash into Bitcoin.
And also has one of the best customer support teams for the largest Bitcoin network in the country. You can actually talk to a human if you need help. You can actually talk to a human if you don't want to bother signing up for a Coinbase account and doing all that stuff. It's actually a very human experience.
Exactly. Because a little human touch sometimes does help out.
I never like doing those automated telephone thingamabobbers. I always like to go directly to pushing zero when I'm calling for help and talk to a real customer support person, you know?
I totally get it.
Yeah.
Special call out to my good friend Goldbug, who read the disclosures, disclaimers in the past. He's been really cool and encouraging. It's nice to get a little bit of positive encouragement every once in a while. So thanks to you, sir, down in the good old United States, wherever you might be. Okay, so I checked the price of Bitcoin a little while ago.
Drumroll, I think it's been very spiky and all over the place.
It's been extremely volatile, extremely volatile.
Are you feeling anxious?
It is either going to be time to make some money trading, if I'm a trader, if I'm trading, or it's going to be time to lose a lot of money. All right, so a little while ago, I checked my Blockfolio app, and again, that's Block, B-L-O-C-K, Folio, F-O-L-I-O. I know how to spell. Anyway, so they're based down in Southern California.
Hi,
and
Ed.
Very, very high integrity organization headed up by Ed. One of these days, maybe we'll have a conversation of some kind. But
yeah,
$87.50 was the price of Bitcoin. And this is especially exciting, not just the price action exciting, but this is especially exciting because this might be the lowest level at which we've done our Satoshi math.
Really?
Which means we're going to have an astounding number of Satoshis per U.S. dollar in our math here. Ready?
More than 10,000 Satoshis for every dollar because the price is lower for Bitcoin. Okay.
So we're talking 87.50 decimalized into eight places. U.S. dollar one divided by 0.00008750 will get you 11,428 Satoshis per dollar.
Whoa, time to stack sats.
Stacking sats, exactly here. So just a kind of special call out to the show that we did with Adam Draper. You know, he said in a long-term view, kind of like the way that a lot of really great stocks of companies works out, in 5 years or 10 years, it's not going to matter whether you bought some Bitcoin at $9,000 or $87.50 like today or at $10,000. It's just not going to make... Who did I say?
Adam.
Oh, I said Adam Draper. Oh.
It was one of the Drapers.
Hi, Adam. You know, I think they had a TV show, Keeping Up with the Drapers or something like that for a little while.
They did.
But yeah, so never mind, Adam. Thank you, Tim, again, for calling out that... a rounding error that you know, this price action turns into, not to pay attention too much to it.
Well, there's a whole community of Bitcoin maximalists that say It doesn't matter. Just keep holding, right?
Yes. It is
and
the
buy when it's lower.
Quiet revolution where Bitcoin is going to slowly gobble up all the world's worst currencies and just keep rising up the stack rankings as far as the amount of value in circulation that Bitcoin has.
Mm-hmm.
So I will make one call out that I have been noticing among some of these newer Bitcoin on-ramps is that they're using a service where they are asking you for your user ID and password to your bank account. And that is a big, big, fat no-no. You never, ever, never, ever, ever,
ever.
Give out ever,
ever.
Never your user ID or password to any of your vital services. And I'm not quite sure, well, I am sure how this company is getting along. It's basically getting along through the ignorance of people and the trusting nature of people. But I will not use a service used by any multi-trillion-dollar organization that is promising me that they're going to work with a small company who's going to keep my user ID and password safe when I give it to them so that they can withdraw money into my brand new, Bitcoin custody account.
Yeah.
That is never, ever happening.
It's a really bad idea. And actually, time and time again, many times a year, we've seen many, many bad examples of where hackers hack large, theoretically secure corporations. Target's one that was really big. There was a Walmart. Facebook has been hacked so many times. There's Experian hack. So, we're going to continually see that until we figure out how to do data privacy and security right, where we actually protect people's data.
I would rather, and I'm going to be, wire money, which is an even more archaic and terrible way to send money. I would rather wire money to a new up-and-coming brokerage rather than use this third-party service that collects my user ID and password to connect to my financial institution.
Yeah,
it's just
all of those
horrible.
Should die.
It's horrible. Anyway, so our main segment here, we're going to be talking about a little
Wyoming.
Bit of Wyoming blockchain stampede. Yeah, it was a whirlwind trip. Left, Friday evening. And then it got into Laramie, Wyoming, again with the $150 Uber ride from the Denver airport to Laramie, Wyoming for $150. I wish there was a way that we could stack sats with Uber.
It was just crazy.
It was
a
lot of
self-inflicted
poor logistical operations, if you ask me.
Sorry.
We will never do last-minute travel logistics ever again.
Because anytime I say
never,
it comes
ever,
true.
Ever.
Sure.
All right. And then so, what's the first topic you want to cover from the Wyoming blockchain?
I think we should
stampede?
Cover like our favorites. So I have my favorites and you have your favorites. So maybe we can talk about our highlights from the Wyoming blockchain stampede. And I have 2 points that I thought were just, magnificent in the way that they brought together a lot of different ideas. And the main speaker for this was Charles Hoskinson, whom, I tweeted out and, some outlet picked it up and shared my tweet. Which
I did
ask
a real journalist whether it's okay to, borrow tweets like that. Mm-hmm. And he said it is actually generally accepted to be okay.
Public domain, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember when a guy took the video or the photograph, I think it was a video, of the plane landing into Hudson, one of the big news outlets, I think it was like CNN, reached out to get specific permission, maybe even licensing, mm-hmm. to use that footage on their television network, mm-hmm. because that was a historic event. Mm-hmm. Maybe the magnitude of that was such that it required maybe a little bit more interaction, whereas your photo, I mean, it was taken more for, I don't know.
Yeah, for context, I was sitting in the room and then we had a magical moment where Charles Hoskinson, the former CEO of Ethereum and now the CEO of ADA and Cardano, was doing a podcast recording with Anthony Pompliano, a.k.a. Uncle Pomp for the Bitcoin baby.
Uncle Pomp.
And so I posted it because it was just, really, really great to see it happen live. I learned a lot about, the techniques that Anthony was using to ask questions and engage with the guest. And learning just a lot from Charles every time he speaks. And so There were two points where Charles did a public speaking event. It was much shorter. He didn't do the 2-hour type of podcast interview with Pomp, but he did a 30-minute speech at the Wyoming Blockchain Stampede. I recorded. I know the recording is really, really horrible, horrible audio, and Day is cringing, but I think there's some value to being able to share short snippets, a 10-second snippet, and then a 70-second snippet where you can actually hear from Charles's voice himself. I know, terrible audio.
I do not approve of using that audio, but after much debate and some would call arguing between me and Ari, I acquiesced, and we are going to use that audio, and then we'll elaborate on it in higher quality audio like this.
Yeah. So, like, the first part was the idea of contingent settlement, and those two words together, contingent settlement, literally just... my light bulbs went off where I was going, oh, that solves so many problems. So when we're talking about the world of regulatory uncertainty, you know, people are complaining that the U.S. is not clear enough. We don't understand, you know, what is state versus federal versus, you know, what's money transmission versus custodial laws and all this sorts of stuff. And we're demanding as a community, we need more regulatory certainty. And then when Charles spoke about it, this is about 4 or 5 minutes into his talk, he says, contingent settlement. You can actually program law, regulation, relationships into code, and different companies, organizations can pull APIs and libraries, API and library-based rules into code that would talk about contingent settlement. So contingent settlement is the idea that if someone's out of compliance, so I'm business A, I have a mom and pop bookshop, I only do business with customers that wear white shirts. I'm just making an example. And so if someone with a black shirt comes in, they're not in compliance because I only do business with white shirts. And so because it's a contingent settlement code, the black shirt person would try and buy a book and the transaction would start, but it would be like, it would hit an if statement saying, like, if you're not wearing a white shirt, transaction will fail. And so the black shirt would try and buy the book and go dee 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 bonk. And the transaction would not happen. And so you can actually program, again, like law, regulation, and relationships. I think it was just so great, the way these two words, contingent settlement.
So do you want to play the entire clip, the one clip for everything that you want everybody to hear right now?
No. Or,
okay.
I just want to play the 20-second clip
okay,
here.
Okay, 20-second clip right here. Okay, here we go.
Why don't we turn the whole thing on its head? We said, hey, look, the burden's on the customer to be compliant. And the transaction just simply doesn't settle if the customer is not in compliance. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to put an address out there, and we're going to have something called contingent settlement. It's not something that Coin quite supports yet, but we'll get there. And basically the idea is that you just send a transaction, and if the transaction is missing certain things that are coincides with that address structure, the transaction won't settle.
So additional comments on that, Ari?
If you heard the word contingent settlement, you heard what I was talking about in terms of how we can just make this a much more simpler experience between government regulators and those who are business is. We can program this up and make it much more simpler.
All right. So then the next clip we're going to go ahead and play right now. And it's going to run, I think, about a minute or so, you said?
A minute and 10 seconds. And okay. So this is where Charles Hoskinson talks about the universality of finance. And I thought this was also a very, very important aspect that also married well with the contingent settlement
okay.
piece.
So let's play that approximately 1 minute segment right now.
The next 5-10 years is going to be a very fertile time as we start moving towards this idea of a universality in finance. One global market, one universal wallet, open protocols all around, tons of different types of assets, but they all basically behave the same way. And frankly, you're in control. You get to decide who you want to do business with. You get to decide who you want to share your information with. And we can build into these systems layers of regulation that basically the user consents to. If we're talking about metadata embedding, you decide what you embed. It can start with nothing, all the way up to something that applies with the draconian rules of China. And you live on that spectrum, you get to decide what you want to do. You're told up front, what markets are you going to have access to? Who can you do business with? On the business side, instead of saying, you have to just go figure it all out, and you're high-priced lawyers and accountants, You get it wrong, it's your fault. Now you're told up front, to comply, you just pick the libraries, and then basically the rules are there. And then you have the audit trail, you have the digital city, all these things are there. So suddenly you don't have to have a compliance officer for the Sundance Exchange. That's a pretty amazing world. You can get rid of $500 billion of compliance spending every year, every 3 years, you can buy Tokyo.
All right, there's that end of the terrible audio that you'll be subjected to during this podcast. So so please give commentary and elaborate just a little bit more. Okay. On that 1 minute clip, please.
So the theme of this clip is the universality of finance. Right now, the current state of things in terms of governments, regulations, nation states, we're in different silos in how we work together. There is no global one way of doing finance. And so when you start bringing in the idea of contingent settlement, plus the idea that you can actually program regulation, relationships, and law are programmable. You can have API and library-based upfront rules. You can actually build a new kind of single market. You will no longer have those different silos and how different countries work together. It's now going to be completely auditable, timestamped, legitimate. You're going to have the attestations around, and it's going to be very human and customer-centric in how regulation is built tomorrow.
So I think I sent out a tweet based on that, and the idea from Nick Szabo a while back, mm-hmm. that I'm going to kindly steal or borrow right now, is the idea of wet code versus dry code. So law, mm-hmm. being code, mm-hmm. and then code can either be in your brain and it's wet, mm-hmm. or it can be in a computer and it's dry. Mm. And generally, as long as the computer circuitry is okay and there's power and, you know, hardware is reliable, generally speaking, the dry code never gets tired. It always works. It works quickly, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's a generally accepted better form of putting code to work.
Especially when we're going for global regulatory certainty, code is the best ways to do it. And so this is where I think we have a real opportunity as different bodies of blockchain councils around the world start partnering with different local governments, city governments, state governments, federal governments, nation states, and start programming in the different compliance that they need and make it easy. And then people can just borrow the code. So, Day, what was your favorite part of the Wyoming blockchain stampede?
I'm glad you asked. So one of my favorite portions was this guy named Trace Mayer, and he's got a really interesting name. And I was thinking, oh, you know, I wonder if his parents were like Cisco certified internetworking engineers, and maybe his middle name is Route. Trace Route Mayer. That's such a terrible joke. I'm sorry, Trace, if you're ever listening to this or you hear that I made a joke about your name. So if you go search on your user favorite search engine, Trace Mayer Bitcoin, and you'll see that he has a nice webpage. It rendered a little bit funny on my phone, so probably needs to be looked at a little bit. But identifies himself as a philosopher, entrepreneur, and investor. And he makes a very poignant joke about gold, considering that gold, you know, has been around for thousands of years. He says the golden rule, which is he who has the gold makes the rules. And so it's kind of a joke in, you know, the land of money. It's not, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's mm-hmm. more about who has the most gold and that person makes the rules. Mm. But apparently he got into Bitcoin when it had a market cap of less than $2 million.
Whoa.
So if you approximate Bitcoin having, you know, $200 billion market cap, which it doesn't have right now because we're at $8,700, mm-hmm. that means he basically made a 100 bagger off of whatever he bought in at. So 200 billion.
What?
That's like 10,000% or something like that. Okay. No.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So 2 million to 2 billion is 100x.
Three more zeros. 1,000x.
I think that's like 10,000x or 100,000x. That's a lot. Anyway, it's a whole lot. It's a whole lot. So percentages are ridiculous again in this space. But he was jokingly introduced as the hodler of last resort. Because no matter what price Bitcoin goes down to, It's all about this idea of who is the buyer of last resort in any sort of asset, mm-hmm. because otherwise assets become completely worthless. Somebody has to be the buyer of last resort. And he's saying that governments aren't going to step up to do this. So he's just going to be the buyer of last resort. Mm. It's a really, really interesting idea. And so he's a blogger, podcaster. He's a investor, invested into a couple of companies, Armory, which I have not heard as much about these days, but his other big investment was Kraken, and they were the title sponsor for the Wyoming blockchain stampede. Yeah. And so, yeah, if he got in really early and Kraken is still Kraken. Oh, man, that was too easy.
They have really nice shirts, too. Like, yeah, they have awesome shirts. Amazing soft shirts.
That blue Kraken shirt that I have is one of my absolute favorites. Bless you. I love that spray on the wall. It's going to leave a nice stain of spit. Yum, yum. And anyway, so yeah, it's one of my favorite shirts. I love wearing that shirt. I was going to launder it in time to take it to the conference, but I messed up my laundry cycles. Anyway, thank you to again to Caitlin Long, the ambassador of hope, as we called her, and goddess of blockchain when she was out in Seattle here, for being the, I guess you would say, the keynote, the chair of the conference, and organizer, chief organizer, all that stuff of the conference. I think it was the second annual time.
Regulatory conference that was at the Seattle University. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. No. I'm saying in Laramie, it's the second time they did it. Yeah. Yeah. So they'll probably do it again next year. We will be much more prepared logistically to handle that trip next year.
It's all you, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you.
Oh, yeah. All right. And so the last topic we'll talk about is the
Bitcoin baby.
I know.
Hashtag Bitcoin baby.
He went like viral. Like, it became a thing. So Pomp came up and
Pomp has that magic touch of virality.
He was like, let me have the baby. Let me have the baby. Because when we first hung out with Pomp, I was very pregnant and I was running around town. We were doing all these events for him and Morgan Creek. And so he's like, oh, this is the baby. I get to meet the baby that came out.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah.
And so he was really excited to hold the baby. And then he took a picture and he's like, Bitcoin baby. And then the Twitter world went a little bit nuts over it. They replaced the Bitcoin baby's head with Vitalik.
Vitalik's head. Oh, yeah. And then they put in some, some annotations of... joking that Pomp is saying that he's teaching the baby about Satoshi Nakamoto and Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And then the little subtext under the baby says, Pomp, I am Satoshi. So it was really funny. It was very, very enjoyable. Yes.
Yeah. I saved all those photos, so I was going to post them all in one so people would just like swipe and see all the photos in one place.
It was especially ironically funny because his tweet was about how when he meets little humans like that, he tells them about Bitcoin and they smile. And he pretty clearly did not have... He wasn't crying, but it was more like a RBF. And I won't say what that is because we're a rated G show. But it's a resting... boy face that he had. He had a little bit of RBF going on, but he wasn't unhappy. He wasn't crying.
The quinoa, yeah, the Bitcoin baby, he had a non-smile on his face, and the person that was smiling was Pomp. So Pomp was smiling huge, and yeah, the Bitcoin baby was just sitting there going, what?
yep. So,
Peter Moore camera grabbed him too.
Oh yeah, and so it did a 2 minute and a baby picture with Charles and Peter McCormack as well. Yeah.
And then I was sitting in the back there, and Caitlin came in like five or six times to try and grab the baby herself, but each time he was sleeping, and so she was like, "Oh, don't wake the baby! Oh, don't wake the baby!"
So he'll make his rounds in this first year of life here, so that people can have a chance to
meet the Bitcoin baby.
Meet and get a picture with the Bitcoin baby, exactly.
As long as you're not sick and your hands are clean.
Exactly. All right. So I think we're at the end of the show here. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Please rate, review, subscribe, and share.
Yeah, and the next episode, we should be sharing the podcast with Anthony Edmund pretty shortly. He did an awesome talk the other week on the misconceptions of Bitcoin and crypto assets.
Yeah,
so looking forward
awesome
to that.
Show.
I know
Dave
has a lot of work ahead of him because it's a longer episode, but just like the Mark Yusko one, I think we'll learn a lot, and it's a different perspective You get to meet the kind of people that are actually in the space, and it's good people. Like, they're doing good work with really good intentions for our future, for humanity. And so I hope that you'll listen to that next episode that's coming up.
This Friday, the 27th, that one will come out. And with any luck, it'll come out earlier in the day when I get all this time to edit it. And then,
yeah,
I have to work on this one tonight so that I can, today, so I can get it out today.
So in the meantime, thank you to our sponsors again, Koimi, Fresh Chalk, Dragon Chain, and the WTIA. And thank you to you, all of our early listeners. We really appreciate you being on this journey with us.
Thank you very much for listening.
And in the meantime, if you could spare 30 seconds, we'd greatly appreciate ratings, reviews, subscribes, and shares. I'm taking pictures of every comment and review that people are writing. It literally makes me feel so happy. So please rate, review, subscribe, and share. Thank you so much.
Rate, review, subscribe, share. I like the action-y call out for people with those four words. Thanks again a lot, and be nice to each other out there, y'all.
Together we rise. Bye.
Hi, y'all. This is Goldbug from Berkeley by way of Charlotte. None of the statements or opinions expressed in this podcast by the guest or its host is to be taken as financial or legal or psychological or dietary advice or a solicitation of any kind to participate in a conservative or risky or speculative financial instrument that may or may not require accredited investor status as defined by either the Securities and Exchange Commission or the Commodity Future Trading Commission of the United States of America or independent thought and rational thinking from the laws of humanity. By listening, you acknowledge that host Arian Day and their guests are not financial advisors or legal scholars or psychologists or dietitians of any kind, but only humans and not sentient intergalactic alien life forms. There shall be no reliance by listeners to the representations made in this podcast as being factual, fiduciary, or any other big vocabulary word you can think of. All statements made in this podcast by any living or dead or unborn or zombie or robotic entity in the past, present, or future of the space-time continuum of the known universe are purely ironic or coincidental thoughts and opinions. Moments of sarcasm, sadness, education, glee, entertainment, or any other emotion found in this podcast are fully your responsibility and reaction that may or may not be intended for the listener in any way, shape, or form. This podcast contains adult information. Discretion is strongly advised. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thanks again, Dom. For reading the disclosures disclaimer. Kind of one section at a time. We're already in the red. We're hot already.
Okay, we're hot.
Can we please be in a good mood? Good energy.
Yep.
Hi, y'all. Welcome to Windshield Time. This is Day and Airy. Thanks for tuning in again. It's Tuesday afternoon, September 24th, about 4 p.m. How are you doing, Airy?
It's been a hectic year. I'm doing okay. How are you doing, Day?
I'm doing all right. I think I'm a little bit recovered from the weekend of travel, and I had a late night last night.
Yeah, I heard you scurrying across the hallway in the house last night.
Can you start over?
Yeah.
Point is, the exchange knows you know the regulator can be improved. Furthermore, it dramatically increases your security. Because let's say your account got hacked. Your DID's not there in the account. So when the hacker tries to pull your funds out and provides an address, what happens? They can't authenticate it. So these are examples of things we can do to comply with regulation without compromising privacy and also actually improving your user experience and your security.